Hi, folks. Today's episode brought to you by our favorite sponsor. There you go. SunsetLakeCebade.com. But they're having a special sale. Why? Because our friends at Sunset Lake know it's not easy to feel thankful necessarily these days. So they wanted to extend their thanks to this show, to you, our amazing listeners and watchers, and a special shout out to Brian for all of the lifted tea love. Brian single-handedly upped their volume by 700%.
I swapped out my Natty Light problem with my lifted tea. But the aluminum industry is still happy.
Holidays are coming, which means less daylight, colder temperatures, and a little extra stress on top of an already nutty year. Of course, you're also headed home for Thanksgiving, maybe. As we wind down 2025, you deserve to rest and recharge. And thankfully, our friends at SunsetLakeCebade.com have just the thing. It's their Black Friday sale. Right now, you can save 30%, 30, when you head to SunsetLakeCebade.com and use the code Friday25. Friday25. That's the word Friday. That's the numbers 2 and 5, no spaces. They got everything you need to chill out and catch your breath this holiday season. Tinctures that help you sleep. Gummies that help you sleep. Tinctures that help your dogs calm down. Gummies, not for your dogs, but they have gummies with a little bit of THC, a little bit of Delta 9. They also got some with melatonin, some without melatonin, some to let you chill, some to let you sleep. They've got all sorts of, they got smokables, keef, flowers, pre-rolls. I love their Cebade fudge, although I can't get near it too much because I have a problem with sweets. But also the Cebade coffee. It's a great weekend roast. These are all great gifts for you and for the ones you love. All of their Cebade grown without pesticides. All of their Cebade grown using using regenerative farming practices, so they take care of the soil. They have great business practices, mostly employee-owned, $20 minimum wage when they do the harvest, and they are movement partners. They have donated tens of thousands of dollars to things that you care about, strike relief funds, carceral reform, refugee resettlement, Planned Parenthood, Give Directly. On and on and on. SunsetLakeCebade.com. In fact, right now, these guys just gave $5,000 to the Vermont Food Bank as a way of trying to help with all that's going on with SNAP and whatnot. Just an all-around great company, all-around great product. And if your order total is over $125, they're going to give you a free citrus-flavored 750-milligram Cebade tincture. Head over to SunsetLakeCebade.com. Use the code Friday25 to save 30% on all their wellness products for people and pets. The sale ends December 1st at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. See their site for full terms and conditions. Remember, great gifts. All right, now time for the show.
With Sam Cedar.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, November 18th, 2025. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the 5-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, House expected to vote overwhelmingly to release the Epstein files after Donald Trump decides to give up the ghost in the house, as it were. Meanwhile, Mohammed bin Salman, crown prince of Saudi Arabia, guy who chops up other human beings, or orders them to be chopped up, will be feted in D.C. in town to bribe Trump. As Trump promises to sell them a bunch of F-35s. UN Security Council passes the U.S. plan for Gaza Peace Force with seemingly zero input from Palestinians throughout the entire process or plan. Disgraced Larry Summers, even more disgraced now, to step back in wake of the Epstein revelations. But the real question is, why doesn't he quit all these things instead of trying to let a little air out of the tire to step back? Oh, I know why. See, because he just wanted to let a little air out of the tire.
Yeah.
ICE moving from Charlotte, North Carolina, to Durham and to New Orleans. New poll. Republicans are cratering with Latinos. Democratic Socialist Katie Wilson wins in Seattle.
Huge.
They finally counted the votes. She's Seattle's new mayor. The second acting FEMA director gone in just 10 months of the Trump administration. This is the one who didn't know that it was hurricane season.
No, didn't know there was a hurricane.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Just joking about that. Totally know it.
Classic, didn't know
there
was a
hurricane. It's the season with the hurricanes.
Yeah. Democrats lead a discharge petition to restore collective bargaining for most federal employees. Chi Aussie announces run against Hakeem Jeffries, but New York progressive electeds are hands off. Lastly, NIH cuts have left almost 75,000 patients completely abandoned. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday.
Newsday. It can go either way.
Yeah, I mean, it's
it goes both ways.
Somebody's a little rusty. Trump's friend Bubba.
You messed it up.
No, I didn't. I said it was Tuesday, and you could say Newsday Tuesday.
Okay, all right. Just sort of move on.
Trump's friend Bubba says, been a member since the Majority Report when Sam got COVID. When are you all going to work on winning that sixth award? We're not eligible for any more of those awards.
Right.
Because when you win five in it's called the People's Choice Podcast Awards. We won five, like, in the first, I don't know, 6-7 years it existed. So what they did is because we kept winning, they basically said, you're not eligible anymore, but we're going to name the award after you. So if you go to podcastawards.com, you will see that all the nominees, I don't know where they are in the voting cycle, they're competing for the Majority Report News and Politics Award.
Right.
It's like a slaughter rule in Little League.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep. There you go.
All right.
Al Knipson says ICE is also in San Antonio. We will get to all of that.
Jesus.
But let's deal with this before we get into some of the specific stuff I want to deal with. Mama Fistopheles says, are you all going to talk about Bubba Gate today?
I talked about that with Francesca Fiorentini on her show. I mean, I just don't think Trump is capable of giving.
Tell people what it is.
There is an email, I guess, that was a part of the emails that were released by the House that includes an insinuation that Trump was...
Well, it says Trump blew Bubba.
And Bubba is a nickname for Bill Clinton.
Okay. And it is not, Mark Epstein already came out and said it's not. Here's my theory.
Yeah.
It's a euphemism.
Right.
And I saw a thread where somebody suggested there's a picture of Donald Trump with two younger women on his lap, and he's pointing to a stain in his pants. Now, supposedly this picture exists. I don't know. And that blue Bubba is a euphemism for having
a male orgasm,
a stain.
Thank you.
Yes. Wow, everyone is so classy here.
And,
but I just knew that that couldn't be the case because Trump probably has never given head in his life to anybody.
No, anybody. Right.
He doesn't exert physical energy on the golf course because he's worried that, I mean, can you imagine if his jaw had to deal with that? Like his battery life for his life would go all the way down.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's unlikely. I think it's more likely a euphemism in that way. But with all that
Don't
said,
touch my hair.
I think. God.
I was as restrained as I possibly could be through that.
Hands off the merchandise.
With all that said, I think it's important that the speculation continues.
I agree.
So please, people should be speculating as much as possible about that until we have Donald Trump address it. I think he should come out and address it.
Make him deny it.
Yeah.
All right, but let's get in to what's happening today. Faced with the prospect of a discharge petition forcing this bill to the floor, and the idea that at least those Republicans that defected to sign the discharge petition were going to vote for the legislation, and perhaps even more, because nobody wanted to be up there voting against the release of the Epstein files. Donald Trump shifts strategies, calls for everyone to vote in favor of releasing the files. And here is Mike Johnson with perhaps a clue as to what this new strategy is. Now it's not prevented from passing in the House. Now it's Mike Johnson.
So what am I to do as a leader in a situation like this? I call my counterpart in the Senate, Leader Thune, and I talked him through this with him and shared our deep concerns. And, of course, they share those concerns as well. And so I'm very confident that when this moves forward in the process, if and when it is processed in the Senate, which there's no certainty that that will be, that they will take the time methodically to do what we have not been allowed to do in the House, to amend this discharge petition and to make sure that these protections are there. The authors of the discharge did not allow us to do that here. That's the rules here. But in the Senate, they can correct it.
Okay. So what he's outlining here is one of Mike Johnson's lies about this legislation was that it did not protect the victims, Epstein's victims. In fact, Epstein's victims, all of the ones who have spoken publicly, are in support of this bill, the specific one in the discharge petition. Johnson's new strategy, and I imagine this was done in consultation with the White House, is to say, okay, the real problem we had with this, it doesn't offer the protections we want it to. We're going to send it over to the Senate, and if it gets a hearing in the Senate, which it sounds like their plan is that it will, they will write another bill, right? Because they're going to amend this. Now, once they pass a different bill, then it's got to go back to the House for another vote. And so the idea is we're kicking the can down the road. And I suspect there's also ways in which the House doesn't necessarily have to take up the bill immediately. And then you're back at square one again because the Speaker of the House would schedule this bill. So and it's perhaps they can do it. They can maybe just punt until the next government shutdown. Remember, January 31st is the date of the end of the continuing resolution, which passed the other day. Greg Abbott has scheduled the election for the special election for a Democratic congressman who has been that seat has been unfilled for over, I think, like 365 days. No, since March. So it will have been 350 days or something like that, 320 days. That election's scheduled to happen January 31st. The government shutdown, we may go through this again.
Wow.
And so who knows? This is all, how do we kick the can down the road?
And Trump coming out and basically saying, I support the release of these files is also a way to kind of create oxygen for that to happen, right? Because he looked incredibly weak in this past week or so, or a few weeks, in a way that I don't necessarily know if he has so far, in the fact that, like, the White House was whipping votes against, you know, when they knew basically that they had enough signatures for the discharge petition. They were whipping
Boebert to the Situation Room.
Yeah, they were, and that failed. But now it's even more of a failure, and they can't hide from it here, because there's apparently going to be dozens, if not hundreds, of Republicans who sign on for the release of these files, because they're thinking about what comes next, in the way Marjorie Taylor Greene has been thinking about what comes next after Donald Trump. The reality is that he has a minus 18 approval rating. I doubt it's going to get better. He may be in lame duck territory already, and it's not even the first year of his first term is, or second term isn't even over. And so they're like, do I want, as Thomas Massie said, my name on a vote to protect pedophiles for my future political career? And the White House could not use the Trump cult to whip votes against that future. And I think that tension with Trump is something that I hope it continues to cause the party to spiral.
Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene out at a press conference that Massie and Ro Khanna had, I believe, with standing behind her are some of the Epstein victims who have come out publicly. And here is more evidence of at least some people are finding that or have decided that they're going forward outside of the Trump halo, as it were.
That's what we did by fighting so hard against the most powerful people in the world, even the President of the United States, in order to make this vote happen today.
Wow.
I was called a traitor.
I'm sorry, can you just pause it really quickly? I just have to remark, because this is what she's been doing, and I just can't, it's shocking how smart this is from you know, Female Dog the Bounty Hunter. The fact that they are, that she is positioning herself as the outsider here is exactly what Trump did in the lead up to 2016.
Right.
I am standing up to the most powerful people in the world. In 2016, in that race, Trump was saying, I'm the guy that's been in the room with Hillary Clinton's donors, and I know how she gets bought. And she's doing a version of this, so
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, soon she's just moments away from saying, drain the swamp.
Yep.
Happened today. I was called a traitor by a man that I fought for 6 years for. And I gave him my loyalty for free. I won my first election without his endorsement.
Hold on. I just want to highlight, too. She gave her loyalty for free. And
six years is about as much loyalty as I want from any single woman.
Yes. You've sort of aged out. I'm sorry.
That's what he meant when he said that her green grass turned brown.
Yes.
Brown rotting grass
in the golf course
fruit.
With you.
Yeah. Sorry. You aged out. Go back a little bit.
And I gave him my loyalty for free. I won my first election without his endorsement, beating 8 men in a primary. And I've never owed him anything, but I fought for him for the policies and for America first. And he called me a traitor for standing with these women and refusing to take my name off
the
discharge
petition. I would like
to
know, wait, what policies? Was it the immigration policies? I just think people should be explicit so that people understand. She clearly supports a lot of Trump's policies. I'm curious what those are.
Yeah, I wonder if Steve Bannon's in her ear. That's my other theory about this, is like, where with all of the bombings in Venezuela and the threatening of wars and things like that, if like she's trying to take up the true America First mantle. Another theory I have bandying about in my head.
Seem to take my name off the discharge petition. Let me tell you what a traitor is. A traitor is an American that serves foreign countries and themselves. A patriot is an American that serves the United States of America and Americans like the women standing behind me. And I want to tell you that this only became possible today because the American people whom we serve as representatives here in Congress demanded that this vote happen, and they put more pressure on every single elected politician in this city than has ever been put on them. And today you are going to see probably a unanimous vote in the House to release the Epstein files, but the fight, the real fight, will happen after that.
I mean,
she's insinuating there too that the cover up of this is on Israel's behalf as well. With the foreign country thing, right?
I thought that.
I don't know if she's saying that it's necessarily about Israel, but she's saying that he is.
I think she's including Argentina, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's a broader, and I think the idea about being this sort of general is also on purpose. Again, what are those policies that she supports at Donald Trump's? Best not to actually say.
I'm sure she'd agree that ICE is America First.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a lot more to cover, particularly ICE and what they've been up to in Charlotte. The folks in Charlotte have really, they have organized very quickly. Like, there is a sense that Chicago learned from L.A. Mm-hmm. and that Charlotte is learning from Chicago. And so on. I know there's ICE in other places, but I'm talking about the earth surges. I'm talking about where Bovino goes. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. I got a couple of words from our sponsors. And I will read those now. Just a reminder, when you become a member of the Majority Report, you get the free show, free of commercials. So have at it. First sponsor today. If you're dealing with hair issues like thinning or shedding, but feeling totally stuck on what to try next, I definitely get it. There's a ton of products out there. You don't know which ones are actually going to do anything. Maybe you don't want to take some thing that's been formulated with drugs. That's a big reason why I was willing to give Nutrafol a try. It's not just hype. It's physician formulated. It is clinically tested, even recommended by dermatologists. I've told the story a million times, but we had a couple of bottles in here from years ago when they wanted to sponsor the program. Michael wasn't interested in trying it. Okay. I thought, like, I don't need it. And so that was that. But a couple years later, I'm starting to feel like I'm starting to thin a little bit up top. And I don't have too many things going for me except for, you know, being my age and having, you know, a full head of hair. And I figured I'll give it a try because why not?
Why not?
It was they clinically test the final formulations, not just like ingredient studies. They use a variety of hair measurement counts or tools, I guess, like hair counts, pull tests, which assess the growing and the shedding and the quality and texture of your hair. I've had great results with it. I see a lot less shedding when I come out of the shower and I'm drying my hair. That's basically my non-clinical test, is to look at my towel and say, like, oh, I have a problem, or, oh, I don't have a problem. And I have seen a big difference. Adding Nutrafol to your daily routine is simple. It is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people. Of course, One of them is me. You can feel great about what you're putting into your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified. That's the gold standard in third-party certification of supplements. See thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol offering you $10 off your first month's subscription, free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code TMR10. That is TMR10. Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code TMR10, Nutrafol.com, promo code TMR10. Also, sponsoring the program today, it can be tough to find time to make meals. I know this. Plus, you know, you fall, days get shorter, it's darker quicker, you get hungry sooner.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the reasons why I love Factor. There's multiple reasons why I love Factor. One is it's super easy. I didn't understand why people had microwaves before.
I know.
I've said this before, but for
I'm with you on that.
For 56 years, for my entire life as adult living alone, I never had a microwave.
Me too.
Never had a microwave. I was just like, why would you do that?
It's like a Massachusetts thing.
I've never lived in Massachusetts.
Never.
Well, I mean, you're spiritually Massachusetts.
There may be a New England thing. Well, first off,
Maine, whatever.
First off, when I was a kid and we had microwaves, they were so newfangled, everybody was afraid of them. And
everybody?
Well, I was afraid, and they were not newfangled.
Okay, well, see, there you go. It's a New England thing. But I will say this. I understand why I microwave now, because I can make for, well, that's the beauty. I'm not really making it. But I can prepare for Saul.
Yes.
I'm not really preparing it. But for Saul and myself, like great home-cooked meal-tasting meals in about, like, 3 minutes. I've made for Saul like chicken and like mashed potatoes and with garlic beans. There was a chicken with cilantro. We had some shrimp fajitas. There's all sorts of different things. Salmon. All different stuff. It has widened his palate, and it's super easy, and it makes me feel like I'm not just like ordering food in for him because I'm a bad parent, which is not that I'm not judging anybody. That's what I do all the time, but this is so easy. You get an order. So I want to thank Factor, a HelloFresh company, for supporting the Majority Report. Go to factormeals.com/majority50off. And use the code MAJORITY50OFF to get 50% off your first box, plus free breakfast for a year. They have more variety, more meals. Do you like salmon, filet mignon, or shrimp? They have those and more. Do these words make your mouth water? Fajitas, chimichurri. Oh, yeah, the chimichurri. That's really good. Or truffles. You ready to savor these? Tex-Mex, Scampi, or Creole? I can't read these at this time of day. Choose from a wide selection of meal options at no extra cost. And you can support your wellness goals. Even enjoy even more GLP-friendly meals with their new Mediterranean diet options packed with protein and good-for-you fats. From more choices to better nutrition, that's why 97% of customers say that Factor helped them live a healthier life. Feel the difference no matter what your routine. Folks, you can make great tasting meals without having to do really any work. They deliver it to you. You can get like, I think up to four or five days. I mean, I get six at a time, so I get three meals for Saul and I. Eat smart at factormeals.com/majority50off and use the code majority50off to get 50% off your first box, plus free breakfast for a year. That's code MAJORITY50 off at factormeals.com. 50% off your first box, plus free breakfast for 1 year. Get delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. And lastly, show is sponsored by ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. It's the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It is what saved me the day after Zoran won.
Mm-hmm.
I went out last night and had a couple of drinks. I got invited to like a little
cocktail thing. You're saying, yeah.
It's the most social I've been in ages. It's just like
you're
socialite
now.
I've been to like three functions in the past 6 weeks. This is the most social I've been to, and I'm really getting to the swing of things.
Nice.
And but I drink a ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink beforehand, and next day I don't feel a thing. I'm feeling good. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It is the buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's the blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme which breaks this byproduct down. All you got to do, make the pre-alcohol ZBiotics your first drink of the night. You drink responsibly. You'll feel your best tomorrow, and that tomorrow is today for me, and I do. Look at it. Look at how much look how much energy I have.
Yeah.
Make the most of every toast, tailgate, and touchdown this holiday season. Just don't forget to bring the pre-alcohol along for the ride. Go to ZBiotics.com/majority to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use Majority at checkout. ZBiotics backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/majority. Use the code Majority at checkout for 15% off. We will put this in a we'll put this in the podcast and YouTube descriptions. Check it out. Honestly, with that ZBiotics, the toughest part is just all you got to do is remember to make that your first drink.
Exactly.
And then you are all set. All right, let's get into I want to talk about this poll first that just came out. Here is Harry Empton. What is his name?
Harry Emden.
Harry Emden.
I honestly don't remember his name anymore.
It's actually Harry Enton.
Enton. But, God, in our hearts, he's Harry Emden.
Watch Harry Emden.
Donald Trump is at his lowest approval rating basically amongst everybody, right?
Yeah.
And as well it should be. But he particularly overperformed with a couple of different cohorts in the 2024 election. Mm-hmm. Latinos was one of them. So much so that Texas Republicans got very confident in their redistricting.
Yep.
Their gerrymandering that they did recently. Again, I don't want to get too remedial here, but if you have three districts and two of them are Republican and they are, let's say, just for the sake of argument, plus 10 Republican districts. In other words, that a generic Republican is going to outpoll a generic Democrat by 10 points. And then you have one district that's plus 5 Democrat. What the Republicans will do is they'll take three points from one Republican and 3 points from the other Republican, or I'm sorry, 5 from each, and they'll put it into that district and they'll make all three plus 5 Republican districts. So I'm taking 5 from one that has 10, 5 from the other has 10, putting it into the Democratic one that is essentially minus 5, and now they're all three plus 5 Republicans. But what happens? If things turn so quickly that those plus 10s that you were counting on were actually plus 6s, let's say, And then all of a sudden, the Latino vote that you counted on for that plus, you know, extra 4 or 5 points in those districts completely turns on you. Well, we may find out. Here is Harry Enten.
The Latino vote, what are we seeing among the polls there?
Yeah, what are we seeing? You know, one of the big shifts in 2024 from 2020 was that shift towards Donald Trump, right? Immigration played a key role in that. I want to start off with Latinos on Trump and immigration. You know, back a year ago, what did we see on the issue of immigration? Latino voters trusted Kamala Harris more than Donald Trump, but by just 2 points. One, two. Look now at Donald Trump's net approval rating on immigration among Latinos. He is 38 points underwater. That is a 36-point shift, essentially, from where we were a year ago on immigration. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are basically tied on the issue of immigration. And now on the issue of immigration, Latinos despise, hate Donald Trump. 38 points underwater. In their mind, he is doing something absolutely wrong when it comes to immigration.
What about the Latino vote overall?
What about the Latino vote overall? All right, how do Latinos feel about Donald Trump overall? Let's take a look here. This, I think, sort of gives the game away. Yeah, oh my goodness. I mean, that is the phrase of the day. Trump's net approval rating among Latinos. In early February, again, he was just 2 points underwater. Look at where he is now. Late October, minus 34 points, 34 points underwater, a shift of 32 points over the course of this year. I should point out this is the CBS News YouGov poll, but I was looking at the average of polls. I was looking at our own poll. Very similar shift, 20, 25, 30-point shifts on the net approval rating away from Donald Trump among Latinos overall. Again, whatever Donald Trump is doing in office, in the minds of Latinos, it is not working. They have turned against him in massive, massive numbers.
I was in New.
That's stunning.
Yeah. And I'm also reading here, Strength in Numbers is a great Substack people can read. This was from last week, but it was about the vanishing Trump coalition. You know, you're seeing now that there's a pronounced shift of non-white, lower income and younger voters back to the Democrats at above average rates, where we saw that that was also significant for Trump in the last race. GOP's vote margin fell by over 40 points among Asian American voters, 20 points among Hispanic Latino voters, and 22 points among 18 to 29 year olds, which is literally the exact coalition that the Republicans were trying to juice with their podcast bro thing. And then, of course, even in taking those numbers and redistricting around them. And the numbers are staggering in New Jersey, like Union City. I've cited this before just because I'm familiar with it also from growing up around there. It's a heavily Latino city, over 80%. And it swung by over 50 points from where Kamala Harris performed, where Mikey Sherrill did in that race. Now, again, like general election numbers, we always talk about this. It's a very different story when Trump is at the top of the ticket, but presumably he won't be again. We should probably note that, unless, you know, obviously something horrible happens. And these Republicans, why this Epstein fissure is so important, is they're thinking about that race in 2028. And when, say, he's not at the top of the ticket, how are the Republicans going to perform if he can't do his celebrity thing and drive out those low propensity voters like this? So it's, and also like the denial of the economic reality people are experiencing is just like absolutely toxic and totally self-inflicted by Trump himself with the tariffs and everything.
I would also say, though, you know, where you see the Republicans cleaving from Trump, it is all around this Epstein stuff. And it all is all very personal. And so what they're doing is they're trying to maintain the policy set and the issue set.
Yeah.
Nobody's breaking apart from Trump on the tariffs. Nobody, you know, the only thing is this sort of like vague America First slogan. They're saying that he deviated from his own policy. So they're staying true to all that thing. So this is an important thing to, you know, going forward, which is why it's so important how Democrats win and how they govern is going to be so as relevant as to whether Donald Trump is, you know, walking amongst us or, you know, a distant memory or whatever. But what's going on in places like Chicago and L.A. and now in Charlotte, North Carolina, and of course other cities. But Charlotte seems to be where the surge is, as it were. This is where Bovino, who was, I think he was with Customs and Border Patrol, and I think now he's moved over to
Central. El Centro.
But here is, let's do number 16. This gives you a sense of sort of like how under siege, no, number 16, how under siege people are feeling in Charlotte. Just literally days after ICE has sort of like, I guess they call it a surge there, which incidentally is the exact same verbiage they used when they talked about putting in new troops in Iraq.
They called this Charlotte's Web because, you know, they...
Yeah, Operation Charlotte's Web.
You know, because of Charlotte. Is that the first thing that came to mind?
Yeah,
or
I was noting to Sam, who's the main character in Charlotte's Web?
It's a pig.
That's apt.
But here is... this is a guy who owns a bakery talking to, I believe, a reporter from the Charlotte Observer.
I'm getting ready to close my bakery today, man. The amount of fear that we have right now is no good. It's not worth it to take that risk. We need to protect our families and family separation, man. This easy, they have taken maybe around 20 people today around in Charlotte. And they have been in a parking lot several times today, so.
Has it affected your business?
Of course, you know, and I'm going to close the doors. I don't know when I'm going to open back. Thank you to all the community and to all the people that have supported me, that has come. But I need to protect my customers. I need to protect my immigrant community and even myself, because they are not even approaching people to us. They are just jumping on them and throwing them to the floor. That's what I saw this morning. So it's not that they're lying, man. They're not chasing criminals. They're chasing anyone who speaks like me and has an accent like me and looks like me.
Are you opening tomorrow?
No.
Is that normal or is that abnormal?
I'm normal. I never close, man. Never.
So you are closing tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm closing tomorrow. I think it could be the first time in 28 years that I'm going to be closing the doors of my bakery.
Okay.
But thank you for being here, brother.
When are you reopening?
I don't know. When we start the division, when we start the race profiles, and we stop these races.
And we're going to show you plenty of clips of the racial profiling that's taking place. Like, literally, we have multiple clips of these ICE thugs going up to people who look Mexican to them, or look brown, or look Central American, or look South American.
Sanctioned by our Supreme Court.
And are, you know, maybe they're doing a job like they're working on somebody's yard, or maybe they're working on somebody's roof, or maybe they're waiting for a bus. We've got clips of all this. And the interesting thing here is, you know, and again, I know ICE is in many cities. I mean, I know I've heard of plenty of stories of them being upstate as well as sometimes into the outer boroughs. But this is one where they have actually put like a surge of ICE officers in. And this is a city that is probably like a quarter or less of the size of Chicago. Certainly like, I don't know, an eighth of the size of LA. I mean, in terms of land mass, I would maybe even say probably much smaller.
Yeah. It's just under a million population, 900 and something thousand.
And so you got 900 some odd thousand people, and this is going on in the community. It has been fascinating to watch like how quickly this stuff is getting disseminated. But here is number 15. This is a perfect example of them just literally driving around neighborhoods in Charlotte, apparently, and just stopping when they see someone with a brown complexion working on a house. They just literally stop in this neighborhood and listen to what they ask.
Louisiana, badass. You know, you remember which hospital?
Lakeside or Lake View, it's over there.
No. Wait, start at the beginning.
All right, cool. I appreciate you.
Start all the way at the beginning.
Louisiana, badass. You know, you remember which hospital?
Lakeside or Lake View, it's over there.
Cool. I appreciate you chatting with me, man. I'm just
out here to talk to you. You gotta do a job, so you guys are coming too.
No, I got you. How about you, sir, in the hat? What's your name?
Caleb Hunt. I was born in St. Joe's Hospital, Luland.
Okay. All right. And you, ma'am?
My name is Pamela Gabriel.
Huh?
Pamela Gabriel.
Okay. Where were you born at?
Ecuador.
Ecuador?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you have a passport and visa?
Yes, sir.
Would you mind if I take a look at it?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Awesome. And you, sir?
Pamela Gabriel.
Okay, so there they are. Now, I will say this. If those people are working on your house, you have every right to go tell those ICE agents to get the F off your property.
Yep.
Almost an obligation.
If they're asking questions as to where people were born or what their name is, then they don't have enough information definitionally to justify entering your private property.
100%.
And also, based upon what I've watched, like, you know, of what folks are telling folks who are immigrants, nobody on that roof has an obligation to answer a single one of those questions. You want to know what high school I went to? It was FU High. It was Suck It Right Here High.
Right.
It's actually a vocational tech school, but yeah.
Or just say like, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or you could just say,
oh,
like,
wait a second.
Hogwarts.
I'm sorry. So that was my junior high. My senior. I mean, you have. Now, I can understand why people. I'm also, you know, like, you don't want to hassle. You're just doing your job. And you don't want to hassle if you don't. But understand that you don't have to do that. You don't have to answer any of those questions. And if they're acting friendly with you, I have news for you. They're not. They're not your friend. They're not anybody's friends. They should have no friends, actually. They should be completely socially isolated. They should be pariahs. In whatever community they are from, they should be pariahs.
Show me your papers. I mean, when people want to talk about, are we being hyperbolic by calling them a version of the Gestapo, I don't understand where the hyperbole lies there.
Here is, speaking of pariahs and people who honestly, like, when, if we get to a day when this ends, I hope this guy literally has to leave the country. I hope he self-deports. What number is this? 12. Yeah, okay. So here's Greg Bovino, the leader of the ICE, the sort of like titular head.
Celebrity Nazi.
Yeah, he's the celebrity Nazi of the moment.
Sort of the lockjaw if you saw one battle after another.
Yeah, and forced to also, I think, be more public because they've had to put, you know, that Mastiff Bulldog, what's his name? Tom Holman. Yeah,
well,
in a closet because of the scandal.
But Bovino was sort of getting out there because he was the first, I think, like CPB, Customs Border Patrol, to get moved into ICE. He was one of the first leaders. And of course, he doesn't wear a mask because he's had to go to court so many times for lying to judges that it would be useless for him to wear a mask at this point. People would know him. And so here's this aging guy who clearly couldn't get to those paintball parks enough and to feel like he was a real man. And it just didn't hit in the same way. So he had to put his outfit on and get into his fatigues, you know, his green fatigue, so he could blend in downtown Charlotte, which of course is famously, you know, different hues of green. It makes it much harder for,
it's very similar vegetation to Hanoi.
Exactly. Exactly. And, so here is, Bovino just walking around deciding, I'm going to go harass the next brown person I see.
Speak English? Don't be Lucio, Senor Eduardo.
She's telling him that you don't have to answer anything. And Bovino's just waiting. The best thing for this guy to do in this instance is to say nothing. Because if Bovino says, if the guy speaks Spanish, it becomes some measure of probable cause for him. If the guy says anything, it becomes some measure of probable cause. You just look at him and you just.
It's interesting. Now, Bovino, inspired by autobiographies of former agents, joined Border Patrol in 1996. That was when Bill Clinton was running hard on the border, trying to take the wind out of the Republican sails. And all that investment hired people like Bovino. And when we continue to throw money at the sort of militarization of that and at ICE, it is just growing pigs like Bovino.
Yep.
It's a farm for pigs like Bovino, and we need to defund them to stop growing them.
Let's go to number 17. This is an example again. Now remember, ICE has these huge bonuses to hire people, and they are not giving them the training that people have had in the past. They are not vetting them nearly as much as they used to in the past. And they're just giving these people gear, sending them out there into minivans. And they have no idea what they're doing. Here is a ICE officer who can't handle being videotaped. And it is perfectly legal for people to be videotaping them. Again, you can't obstruct, but if you are out of their way and you're videotaping them or you're behind them, you literally can't obstruct from behind.
What if they're camera shy?
Even if they're camera shy, it's part of the job. So you're representing the completely decked out Buffy uniform. So here is this patriot.
This is an illegal traffic stop! No! This is a...
They're all pointing their guns right in their face.
Illegal traffic stop. Yeah.
Look at that.
I'm back though.
They're pointing guns. Look at these Nazis. Here is an example of...
And real quick, those weapons are like called less than lethal weapons. Remember, they used to be called non-lethal, but when the Red Sox won the World Series in 04 and they were doing crowd control, one of those non-lethal weapons killed somebody. And now they're changed to less than lethal.
And they're a lot less than lethal when they're four, like a foot and a half from your face.
Yeah. And it, at the very least, it can really harm people physically, no matter what, even if like the worst case scenario doesn't happen there.
Here is an absolute patriot. This is number 14. This is not safe for work. God bless this guy. Well, actually, you know what? Let's go to, before we go to that, I'll give you a chance to hold your kids' ears. Here is a report from Jacob Sobroff in Charlotte, North Carolina. And just to give you a sense of like how quickly this community is banding together and to protect their fellow citizens in some instances, their fellow community members in other instances, their family, their friends.
But check this out. Hey, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. I have to talk very quietly because I'm in a church, but check this out. This is not a church service. This is a training being run by Siembra, North Carolina. It's called Safe to Work, Safe to School. All those people are here because they do not want Donald Trump's masked arms of federal agents on the streets of Charlotte. They watched what happened in L.A. They watched what happened in Chicago. And they're all here to be trained about how to get their neighbors and their friends and their coworkers safely to work and safely to school to push back on the Trump administration and what they are doing. It's a Monday night. We are at the Dilworth United Methodist Church in Charlotte. And the turnout is incredible. I'm going to show you again.
There have been there was at least one reported raid of a church that happened the other day. They took one guy. You could see I know there's video going around the aftermath. You can see some kids crying. I mean, just they're absolute animals. And supposedly the word is that they're going to up their raids on churches as we get closer to the holidays. It's
the party of Christ.
It's psychopathic. It's psychopathic. And, you know, the only upshot is that it's not going unnoticed. You have folks like in that church who are organizing. You got folks organizing all around, I think, in different cities as they're anticipating ICE coming there. And, you know, you see it in the public polling.
Yeah.
So, And
community is just such a threat to what this administration is trying to do. I've made this point before, but it's the same reason that they're obsessed with cities, too, is that there's just a general kind of community there, especially one that's multicultural, that's very threatening to their project. But as we've spoken about, like, people have written in saying, what can we do? How can we resist? And getting involved locally is like a really productive way to do that. And you can see that right there.
Todd from Raleigh says, ICE arrived here this morning. We're nervous to ready to stand by for our comrades and our community. We'll talk about that a little bit. But I want to show this is 2 days ago, 3 days ago now. Nations Ford, that must be a road in Charlotte, maybe. And look at this patriot. Again, not safe for work. You know, I think everybody can choose their own language when they confront a nice person. You know, if my son was talking like this, I would tell him to be a little bit more polite. Yeah. Not so much polite.
The form is good, just the content, you know.
Yes.
I mean, it's a little funny when the kid says it, but, you know, we'll let it go.
Well, this is not a kid, but yeah. I don't think. This guy drove by some ICE guys, and the ICE guys were like, move along. And he said, I don't think so.
What you doing, bro?
Keep it moving. What do you think I'm doing?
Why?
Keep it moving.
Why you getting the people, huh? Why you getting the people?
Why am I getting them?
Yeah.
They're here illegally.
But who fucking builds the fucking places that we live in, huh?
Keep moving.
Or
stop
what?
Stuck in the road.
What you gonna do about it, huh?
Wanna find out?
Do it, nigga. Come on. Come on, let's do it. I'm got papers. What's up?
You're telling me you're not gonna move.
What you want?
If we need to leave, you're gonna continue to block the roadway. Is that what you're
saying? You're not leaving right now. What's up? What you gonna do about it?
Well, when I do,
I don't got papers, buddy.
Make sure you don't block the road, all right?
We'll see if this truck goes on top of you. What's up? What's up?
So what are you saying?
I don't know. You take it however you want to take it.
Exactly how it sounds.
Take it. What you gonna do about it? Huh? You think I'm scared of you?
Moving.
What? There's a lot more of us coming right now.
Good.
Yeah. We'll see what we're about to do right now.
Charlotte about to find out, right?
You about to find out about Charlotte. You don't know what's up about Charlotte. This ain't Chicago, nigga.
Keep moving.
Or what? What you gonna do about it?
Find out.
Come on, find out. I wanna find out, buddy. What's up? Huh? What's up? What you gonna do about it? Hey, I'm talking to you. Come on. So what's up? What's
he's fake looking around.
I know.
Trying to act busy. Oh, look at my. Let's look at my.
Let me adjust my rear view mirror.
Hey, you want to check my plates? I don't got papers.
There you go. Good for that guy.
You love anybody who can create an awkward situation and sit in it like that.
Oh, my God. I love that.
I got social anxiety from that interaction.
That is my new adopted son. That's freaking fantastic. All of your interactions, if you engage in that way, are not going to work out that way necessarily. You got to be prepared to deal with what comes after that. But if you get on video, you will be in line to be one of my adopted children. That is so awesome. I can't get over that. I've watched that video, I would say, like half a dozen times. I love that guy. Do we have anything else on there?
I'm not sure.
That's it. I guess we're going to have to head into the fun half.
I guess in the free half, we should say that it seems like Schumer is saying that they're going to move if it... I just lost it.
Oh, they're going to go for unanimous consent in the Senate, which means that they're going to try and pass... Remember, Johnson's strategy, and I would assume this is also the White House's strategy, is to take the bill that's going to pass in the House and may have already passed by now, or certainly is about to, and send it to the Senate with the complaint that it doesn't protect the victims, Epstein's victims, even though they support this bill.
Yep.
And the idea was either that they won't take it up in the Senate, but it appears they definitely will, or that they would try and amend it in the Senate, pass a different bill, slightly different bill than the one in the House, then the House ostensibly would have to pass it again. And it might give more time for delay. So everybody can say that they voted, who wants to, I voted for that bill in the House. When the Senate sent it back, it was not the same bill.
Right.
And like, you know, the idea here is they're not going to convince anybody. The only thing that they think they can do in this situation is to make things murkier and cloudier and less clear. And so by attempting to pass this bill by unanimous consent, it puts less pressure on Republican senators. They don't have to say that they did or did not vote. They could basically choose whichever one they want after the fact. And it cannot get bogged down by an amendment. Now, remember, if they pass it in the House and they pass it in the Senate, it has to go to Donald Trump to be signed.
Yep.
And he still has another card to play. And that is that, what's her face?
Pam Bondi.
Pam Bondi can come out and say, we just started an investigation into this and we refuse to release. Then it goes to the courts. I mean, this is all going to be about delay, 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 delay.
Which is great for us in terms of creating a slow bleed out for Donald Trump.
I mean,
as obviously,
long as more crumbs come out.
Even if they don't, not to belittle the victims, but the cover up being this elongated process in and of itself, even if we get no new information about Donald Trump, I don't know. Feels like a real political loser for him and the Republicans.
There is a quality, and we'll talk about this in the fun half, because there's a new report out about Kevin Roberts, the head of the Heritage Foundation. And this is,
an atomic bomb.
It's an atomic bomb. But the sort of like, what is it? The cows are out of the barn.
Yeah.
On this. Like, whether there's more information or not more information, Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and the this is all pulling apart at the conservative infrastructure. which is not to be mistaken for Democrats have their act together and know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
But at least things are a little bit on similar footing. And remember, they really need unity because that's the one thing that they always have had is a aligned incentive structure.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't got much else. Their policies don't help people. Their policies are cruel. Their policies are revanchist. They're retrograde. They are misogynist and racist. And so in general, like, it's very hard if they're sort of if they're not on the same page for them to have success in society. But of course, also, we're in cornered rat era.
Yep.
Folks, just a reminder. Your support is what keeps this show alive and thriving. Aliving and thriving. And if you want the show without commercials, it's holiday season. So the next 2 months, we got a lot of commercials. You can get rid of those commercials when you listen to it as a podcast afterwards because we cut them out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working on a members video feed too, which Whoa. Would also have certain
features.
Cut out
features. The commercials?
I think we ad might be free. Able to do that. I think so. I think that would be yeah. ad-free. It certainly would be ad-free relative to YouTube. On there. And but we're working on that. But it's your support that makes that possible. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, hot chocolate, use the coupon code majority. Get 10% off. Folks, check out our Discord, Majority Discord. We got over 17,000 people in that Discord. It's an incredibly active Discord. Great community.
Right.
Also, the AM Quickie. You get 3 free emails a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from Whitney and Corey. They switch off. Whitney is like one of the premier writers at the American Prospect. Corey has written an amazing book, and I think he's working on a second one. Maybe I don't want to speak out of turn. But they give you all the stories you need to know from a decidedly a progressive perspective, and for a couple of bucks more, you can get all 5 days a week, every all month. So check that out. What is it? The amquickie.com. Matt, Left Reckoning, and Jacobin.
Left Reckoning today after a Majority Report over on the Left Reckoning YouTube feed. We have Daniel Bogislaw talking about these Epstein documents, but particularly Larry Summers, and we get into Trump as well as his theories on the lack of evidence for a formalized blackmail operation, which I think might be interesting to folks. Formalized, I would emphasize. But yeah, check that out right after the show today.
I think I'm going to word search here because there's a nice IM about your show. Polly Marxist said, wanted to say I watched Matt's Jacobin show and have to say it was very well done and informative. I look forward to tuning in again this Friday. Congrats again, Matt.
Brendan James of Blowback is going to be on this Friday show. And Robin Wansley, the independent socialist in Minneapolis, is going to talk about how she's starting a caucus up in the Twin Cities for socialists. So, yeah, look out, Fry. You think you won now.
All right, folks, see you in the fun half. 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, and I don't think it's going to be the same as it looks like in 6 months from now, and I don't know if it's necessarily going to be better 6 months from now than it is 3 months from now, but I think around 18 months out, we're going to look back and go like, wow.
What? What is that going on?
It's nuts.
Wait a second. Hold on for a second.
The Majority Report.
On half. Emma, welcome to the program.
Hey.
On half.
Matt.
Who?
On half.
What is up, everyone?
On half.
Nomi Key.
You did it.
On half.
Let's go, Brandon.
On half.
Bradley, you want to say hello?
Sorry to disappoint everyone. I'm just a random guy.
It's all the boys today.
Fundamentally false.
No, I'm sorry. Women's...
Stop.
talking for a second. Now let me finish.
Where is this coming from, dude?
But dude, you want to smoke this 7A?
Yes.
Hi, me? Is this me?
Yes.
Is this me?
Is it me?
It is you.
Is this me? Hello, is this me?
I think it is you. Who is you? No sound. Every single freaking day. What's on your mind?
Sports. We can discuss free markets and we can discuss capitalism.
I'm going to go smell it.
Libertarians.
They're so stupid, though.
Common sense says, of course.
Gobbledygook.
We fucking nailed him.
So what's 79 plus 21?
Challenge met.
I'm positively quivering.
I believe 96, I want to say. 857-210-35-501. One half. 3/8.
9/11, for instance.
$3,400. $1,900.
$5.43 trillion. Sold. It's a zero-sum game.
Actually, you're making me think less of
it. But let me say this.
Poop.
You call it satire. Sam goes with satire.
On top of it all, my favorite part about you is just like every day, all day, like everything you do.
Without a doubt. Hey, buddy, we see you. All right, folks.
It's just the week being weeded out, obviously.
Yeah, sun's out, guns out. I don't know.
But you should know.
People just don't like to entertain ideas anymore.
I have a question. Who cares?
Our chat is enabled, folks.
I love it.
I do love that.
Look, gotta jump. Gotta be quick. I gotta jump.
I'm losing it, bro.
2 o'clock, we're already late, and the guy's being a dick. So screw him. Sent to a gulag?
Outrageous.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Love you, bye.
Love you. Bye-bye. We are back. Sam Cedar, Emma Vigeland, Majority Report, Fun Half.
Yes.
Bovino is a spitting image of Lockjaw from one battle after another. It's uncanny. I don't know who that is. But there is a character now, a meme out there. What the heck is... something that Saul was telling me about. Somebody, you know, some cop babblecock or something like that. I can't remember what the name is.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm even talking about it. Jesus Christ. What did Brian just break?
Just some headphones.
Brian's just out of control.
I'm so upset. Lockjaw is Sean Penn in one battle after another. The sort of, really, the guy they put in charge of... I think it's immigration enforcement action.
Like, yes.
It's just, very clear. It's amazing how well that movie, which was started under Biden, predicted the Trump second term.
Exactly. Everyone should see it.
Definitely not Cameron. Regarding the Epstein bill, it's also worth checking out everyone's favorite newsletter hawker, Ken Klippenstein's article about the requirement that the release files be unclassified as another potential hurdle to their release. Yeah, look, I'm going to be surprised if these things come out. But I also would be surprised if the pressure to release them dies down dramatically. I think it's going to ebb and flow. I think it's going to ebb and flow would be my guess.
Do you want to see Bill Maher bomb just horrendously?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, this is good. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see this, the Zoran joke? This is just a nice quick little thing here. Oh, I did
see this. So we're going to have to follow it up with his other clip, right?
He bombed in his own home studio?
Where is this? Oh, this is
No, this is the great other clip.
This is in front of a whole audience.
This is from Friday night.
Yeah.
Paid audience. They're there ostensibly. How much do they get paid? Do you know how much they get paid?
I think I used to get like $60 like
15 years ago to do it. So it's probably $30 now.
Okay. Now, and even if they don't get paid, ostensibly, these are probably the biggest Bill Maher fans in the country, right? Like, I'm going to go watch a taping
right.
of Bill Maher's show. So even if I'm not paid, I'm like, Bill Maher's my hero. And honestly, you've got to eat a lot of garbage if that's the way you feel like it. Like a wide range of garbage. So let's watch him with his big joke Friday night.
Finally, New Rule Democrats must recognize that Zohran Mamdani is the future of the party. Unfortunately, it's the Republican Party.
Oh, brother.
I mean, listen to that silence.
The thing about paid audience is they still need to know the joke has happened. Like, if they can't identify the joke,
he
they
told
can't
the
do
joke,
their job.
He told the joke wrong. It should go, New Rule, Mamdani is the future of the party. And then you go, the Republican Party.
Still, it doesn't make sense.
You gotta, it doesn't.
He's a Muslim.
His argument is, no, his argument is no. It's going to help the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Get it?
Oh, I did not get that.
Yeah, I was going to say the Muslim thing backs his joke up.
Okay, so you say the joke and then you got to go, get it?
Brian, do they have signs that tell you when to laugh?
A lot of the shows do. Well, they have applause signs. I've never seen a laugh
applause.
Sign.
Applause. Okay, that
but,
might be a little
but
bit
But there is
the
a warm-up guy who's usually a just a spirit-broken comedian where things didn't work out.
Do you think that
and
guy
he
was
like,
fired?
Goes, like, does a gesture to be like, laugh.
Let's hear that joke again.
Do you think that guy was fired after this?
Finally, New Rule Democrats must recognize that Zohran Mamdani is the future of the party. Unfortunately, it's the Republican Party.
No.
Yo, did he say get it? I think he did.
Yes.
Okay. So
get it?
That's the thing. He's got to deliver the get it early. But let's go to this. This is an appropriate a follow-up to that. Here is... Bill Maher explaining to Patton Oswalt in a moment, you know, and Bill Maher is just speaking freely because he's so intoxicated. Here he is talking about why he's had enough.
Oh no, this one. Sorry, this one is about he's lying.
This is not about his
quitting stand-up.
Yeah,
no.
Oh, I thought we were gonna have that. Let's grab that.
Let's grab that one. This one is him lying to Patton Oswalt about California having a law where you no longer are allowed to assign gender on a birth certificate.
And just to note, every single right-wing clipper on Twitter has clipped this to say, "Look at how out of touch Patton Oswalt is." Despite what Bill Maher saying here is being complete
all right,
bullshit.
Let's play this. Here's Bill Maher making up a rule, you know, a law that he's and the law being that you're not allowed to put gender on a birth certificate in California, which of course is absurd.
No, they passed a law where when so you're an adult, you don't have to get a court order to change your gender on your birth certificate.
Which is very, very different than you're
yes.
not allowed to put a gender on a birth certificate when you're born. Go.
Bill Maher's like, I'm in favor of the idea of if, like, you're 17, changing your birth certificate to 18. But anyway, keep going.
That's not what we started to teach, which was that every baby is, I don't know, let's not even put it on the birth certificate. That's what they wanted.
Were we teaching that?
Yes, we
were.
When were
we teaching that?
Teaching it. It was a law here in California. See,
to teach what?
Don't put sex on the birth certificate. We'll see. Now, we've passed that period now.
I'm sorry, I don't remember that. I mean,
I know, because it doesn't get in the blue sky bubble.
Wait a minute, I'm not just on blue sky.
I really think that's a lot of it.
Here's why that doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If that was a law, you would hear about it on Blue Sky because they would be championing it, right?
That bubble would amplify that.
Like, how could that law get made without people on Blue Sky knowing about it or promoting it? Like, who is it that is pushing this law that says you're not allowed to put gender on a birth certificate if not the people he disdains on Blue Sky? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's all based on a lie anyway, so.
in the blue sky bubble.
Wait a minute, I'm not just a blue sky.
I really think that's a lot of it, is that some of this stuff doesn't get in to everybody's media.
I'm of a mind, because I remember the African-American community was always saying there's brutality from the cops. Everyone said, oh, that's ridiculous. Stop it. This is all myth. And then cops started wearing body cameras, and lo and behold, there's all this footage of violence towards black people.
There was also a lot of footage of violence that they did on white people, but that didn't make it into videos. You see, nobody cared about that. Well, not that it excuses the other.
I'm just saying, whenever...
Violent. Okay, but he was just accusing Oswald of being manipulated by his algorithm, where clearly he has, like, racist black people attacking white people content at the top of his feed, and he's insisting that that is, like, the hidden trove of actions that weren't documented in history. Is he saying in history?
Who knows what he's talking about, honestly.
He can't enunciate.
The ranting of an old man.
Yeah.
And, here is why he's no longer doing stand-up. It's not that he gets out there and really has no idea what people find funny anymore. It's not that he goes out there and finds that he's increasingly feeling alienated because he has old man perspective on things.
Yeah.
And he's been rich for 45 years.
And he's been completely out of touch. And it's just like maybe he's just running out of writers who are like willing to write that stuff that he's been hawking on every one of. I mean, he's going to tell you that he's done 13 specials, comedy specials, I think on HBO.
HBO.
What would you say? What is the minimum that he has had the majority of that material written by somebody else? Like out of the 13.
12 out of 13.
Yes, I would agree.
He wrote that first hour.
I think he wrote that first hour. Yeah. And then every other one of those 12 remaining, he had a writer or multiple writers. I don't know if it was Billy Martin or it was Ed Driscoll or whomever it was. I'm sure there's a whole new crop of people.
It's probably been 16, 17 crops.
I would imagine. write a big chunk of each of the remaining of those hours. But he delivered it. So, I mean, he's a good actor.
Should get Olivia Rheingold in the writer's room.
Crime, crime!
Crime, crime!
But
my
here
God.
Here is Bill Maher with his... So long, we used to call this in the bloggers world, like, so long, cruel world.
I mean, look, I got off the road this year I had been doing it for...
Really?
I stopped doing it at the end of 2020.
What made you stop?
Well, I just did my 13th HBO special. I feel like that's a good body of work.
Yeah. I said what I needed to say, people.
You know, and I felt they basically got better as it went along. I feel like the last one was the best one, which is a good way to get off.
Yeah.
A number of things. Just got tired of the travel, obviously. I miss doing it. Also, I feel like it was a great choice because I don't want to be out there in this country, in this political atmosphere. I could get shot by the left or the right.
Yeah, well, at this point...
It's a good time to not be out there.
Yeah.
And also, apropos of this discussion, I just got tired of being twice as funny as people who were selling twice as many tickets as me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I like the end. Okay.
I like how the whole thing is enormously self-aggrandizing and also a huge lie, but he can't help himself but go over the top and say how much funnier he is than other comedians.
I will say a big reason why I stopped doing stand-up 17, 20 years ago was for that exact same reason.
Yeah, me too. I'm twice as funny as these people selling 17 tickets a night.
I was about 3 to 5 times funnier. And and I was just like, that's just too much. That's too much. If I was twice as funny, I would have stuck it.
Yeah.
Right.
But I was 3 to 5 times. I mean, I was probably like 5 to 7 times funnier than mostly everybody else. Everybody. Regardless of how many tickets they sold. And I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm too funny. People, there were times I was 7 to 9 times funnier than most of the people. And I realized once you get around like above 6, you realize nobody's getting these jokes because they're not funny enough to understand. Like I'm in a transcendent state.
Yes.
Of funniness. Like I'm in a different like universe.
Right.
And you're just looking around going like, man, nobody gets it. Yeah. So forget this.
I'm just going to get hammered in my basement.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Make people really uncomfortable.
I'm going to buy a 3-foot bong and just get super racist and misogynist and make my money that way.
And I have no other choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe bring some kids down in the basement too. I mean, we do not talk enough about that episode.
Hot
where
tuya.
Well, no, it was, that was creepy enough. Thank you, Matt.
There's so much I would love to know about being a 21-year-old girl.
He brought children down and asked them about trans people and Stormy Daniels. They were like 8, 10?
Yes, they were children.
Well, you can get away with that if you're only 2 times funnier than everybody.
Yeah, right.
You're 7 to 9 times funnier than anybody. You can barely even do that. It's almost impossible for me to even order in a restaurant. Because people are just like, what? I'm just going past everybody.
Right. People just can't stop laughing when they see you.
No, it's just like they can't even keep up with the humor. I'm making jokes about the menu, and they're just like, huh? They just look at me like,
you're like a guy, like a guy with a black belt in karate where you're like, actually my hands are registered weapons.
Exactly.
If I use these are
I can't
this
possibly,
would be a double felony.
I can't even take my gloves off. That's how dangerous these things are.
I got sick of the travel. He flies private everywhere.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
And he flies private because those less funny plebeians, they would infect his airspace. Like that preacher who didn't want to fly in a tube with a bunch of demons.
Right, right.
Bill Maher's the comedy version of a televangelist preacher in that way.
Yes. What is that guy's name?
All right. Let's move on from that old deluded man and go to a different old deluded man who happens to be president of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump seems to be going through something specific right now. Let's do like 7 and 9. Or let's do 10, 7, and 9. Let's start with number 10. Donald Trump is at the McDonald's Impact Summit.
The first event he was excited about in years. They probably didn't even ask him to speak.
Oh my God.
What, McDonald's is getting together?
Can we
get me on Air Force One now?
Where's his outfit from the campaign trail? Why does he want to break that out?
The
McDonald's outfit. It was honestly probably the best he's ever looked.
Yes. Here's Donald Trump at the McDonald's Impact Summit. Now, remember, we made a prediction around here that around the 10th, he would go see a doctor again. And then by the 14th, he was talking about his MRI that he got very typically for his annual checkup. Incidentally, his third annual checkup in 3 months.
Got a perfect score.
Perfect score on the annual checkup. That's why I do one every month. Because each time I get better.
Mm-hmm.
Magnificent RI.
I broke my MRI record.
Completely unrelated.
PB.
Completely unrelated to that. Carol Ann writes in on the IM, Alzheimer's infusion MRI scans are used to monitor patients for a side effect called amyloid-related imaging abnormalities, which involves brain swelling or bleeding when receiving treatments like lecanemab or Leqembi, or donanemab. These scans are required at specific intervals, particularly early in the treatment, and can also be done if a patient reports new symptoms. Leqembi, lecanemab, MRIs are recommended before the 3rd, 5th, 7th, and 14th infusions. Additional scans may be needed for patients whose therapy was paused or if new symptoms appeared. Donanemab MRIs are typically scheduled before the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 7th infusions. Just reading an IM.
Every American will soon receive their own MedBed card.
Here he is at the McDonald's summit.
a great stock market is great for everybody, including 401ks. You know, the 401ks hit the highest number that they've ever been 2 days ago. And that's a lot of people. So they understand what's going on. And we're going to make the American dream a word that, two words that you didn't have. You didn't have those two words. Remember when Biden said, it's all about three words, the American dream. You don't want to ever get in that situation. Remember that? That was not good. It's all about three words, American dream.
A great stock market. It's all about three words.
He tried. He tried.
American dream.
Tried to freelance, incidentally, there.
What do you mean you never want to get in that situation where you have to put the in front of American dream?
Zero of that made sense.
Well, Emma got it. You don't want to be in that situation where you, but he screwed up. Because he said, Biden said it was three words, the American dream. And then he just realized, like, oh, that's why it was three words.
I fell into the same trap.
You want it just to be American dream. Like,
that's two.
A American dream.
This is
American dream.
You know,
yeah, him talking to his adult brain.
American dream is three words. Wait, okay. You just don't want to get there.
It's also
look, do I get a Happy Meal or not?
You're talking to McDonald's franchise owners too. Like, you're talking about affordability to them. Like, their own McDonald's franchises.
Yeah.
That's not who is struggling with affordability. It's the people that work at all of their organizations. And by the way, since we're talking about Epstein, massive endemic harassment at McDonald's, of especially teenage girls that work there. I've seen it when I worked there when I was a teenager myself. Like,
and that
it is
horrible
crazy.
Documentary that you
had
me watch too. What was that?
I forget the one where the guy was like calling the McDonald's. I would talk to them about that before, like, their 401ks.
Well, he does address affordability to them. He quells their fears of an increase in the minimum wage. Right,
exactly. Don't worry.
So.
Exactly. That's the other part.
Your workers will still be affordable to you. Is this number seven? Yeah. Okay. And this is, and people are wondering, like, why is your voice so hoarse? And this is,
I just had a session with Bubba.
In understanding, he's getting agitated. There is an agitated quality to Trump that we're seeing here that seems as if he's upset about something that's going on maybe in the country.
The health of the president's always news. Your voice sounds a little rough. Are you feeling all right?
I feel great. I was shouting at people because they were stupid about something having to do with trade and a country, and I straightened it out. But I blew my stack at these people.
Well, it sounds like there's a follow-up there, but can I ask you about Venezuela? You suggested... It sounds like there's a follow-up there, but can I ask you about Venezuela?
I thought you said there was a polyp, and I said, I don't want to hear that.
I don't want to hear that again.
It's very clearly a polyp somewhere.
I don't have a polyp.
I didn't say polyp. You
said polyp.
And I didn't see this yet. It sounded like a blowjob innuendo there, just by happenstance.
What I blew,
what?
My,
I blew my stack.
Stack.
I don't know.
That really means getting angry.
Okay, fair enough. But I mean,
somebody.
I just it was a little closer to my joke than I anticipated it
full stack.
But yeah,
crime.
I got the full stack.
Yeah. I lost my voice trying to blow my stack.
So where's that polyp? Oh, Jesus.
Polyp?
I didn't say polyp. You said polyp.
You said polyp.
He was at the doctor getting his
rib removed. I didn't know what polyp is.
So he could blow
his
stack.
No polyp. And here's number nine. Here is Trump sort of like filling out the trifecta. So there's one of two things that happened. One is he's got something else going on that is causing him to lose his voice. Or he yelled for such a significant time. He's so mad at somebody. Now, I wonder if it's a tariff issue when there have been, as far as I know, no new tariffs issued. They're waiting for the Supreme Court. This has been going on for a week. So he clearly did the yelling in the past like 24 hours or so. And it just coincidentally that they're having a vote on the Epstein files. I didn't get mad at that. So, like, one of two things happened.
Yeah.
either he's got something going on that he doesn't want people to know about, which is impacting his voice, which that's possible.
I mean, he threw a polyp out there, and he heard the reporter say that when the reporter
I didn't get
did
a polyp.
Not.
I didn't have a polyp removed. What are you talking about? Or he's losing. He's yelling as loud as he's ever yelled before during his two presidencies, because I've never heard his voice.
Never.
And he blew his voice out yelling about one country's tariff situation or maybe something else is going on that he's getting very uptight about. Here he is on Air Force One, where he really gets a little bit looser because he's in a higher altitude.
So he dictated a couple of memos to a 70-day break. You're going to find out what did he know with respect to Bill Clinton, with respect to the head of Harvard, with respect to all of those people that he knew, including J.P. Morgan Chase.
Sir,
yeah,
is
Jennifer,
there something
go ahead,
incriminating in the file, sir?
I just want to be clear on what just happened there. So this was from a day or two ago when he is arguing that, and this is before his reversal on the files, that we're going to investigate Bill Clinton. We're going to investigate the president of Harvard, Larry Summers. God bless. I hope that happens multiple times, frankly. And he's asked a follow-up question, and he says, quiet. Quiet, little piggy, he calls.
Quiet piggy. Catherine Lucy was apparently the reporter. She's, you know.
Oh, I've seen Bloomberg's Jennifer Jacobs.
Oh, really? They were
That's
saying,
what I've seen,
They
too.
Were saying Bloomberg's. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. It was another Bloomberg reporter. I got it wrong. Apologies. Go on.
Well, the point being, this guy's losing his patience. And then he yells at somebody ostensibly about tariffs.
The Guardian says it's this woman, Catherine Lucy. It doesn't really matter that much, yeah. But I mean, I just like you see, because based on like how women look or whatever, it's easy to see if they trigger them. I mean, she's a blonde woman and he doesn't like being spoken to by them in any, well, really any women at all. But Quiet Piggy is really like, I'm sorry.
Crazy.
That's really crazy. This is the leader of the country. And I know that it's like a little lib to care about people setting examples, but the way he acts has had a directly corrosive impact on the way that we deal with one another and our society. It's mm-hmm. disgusting.
And without a doubt.
And the press in general.
But yeah. That is a real lack of control that yes. we haven't seen from him in a while. Okay. I mean, this iteration, this go round, he's been, you know, he'll be stern sometimes, shut up. But that shut up came a couple of days ago, too. We haven't seen something like this.
He's always camera ready, camera aware.
And, you know, he knows where his liabilities are this time around, and he's getting paid. So ostensibly, he's like, I can, you know, but he's clearly losing patience. His fuse is getting shorter. He's yelling at people, according to him.
And this is the real him. This is what the Trump that you see in the E. Jean Carroll deposition. Yes. That is the real Trump.
And also, we saw a lot more of this in the pandemic at the end of his presidency in the first term, where he was getting completely, you know, falling apart really in the back 2 years, but specifically the back year, getting more and more of a bully, freaking out more and more. And I still go back to the fact that he was that he had to cave and pretend like he's in favor of releasing the Epstein files because they're going to try to cover things up on the back end, because he was probably yelling, screaming at every member of the House that says, we can't go with you on this, Mr. President. We have to vote for the release of the Epstein files, because there's do we have the vote right now? Are we following it? I mean, there's at minimum
dozens.
This clip was
before he had reversed, and so I think it was coming to
in the lead up. Yeah. In the lead up, because he knew that he was cornered.
Yeah.
Let's just get the quiet piggy one more time clean here.
Is there something incriminating in the file, sir?
Quiet piggy.
Jeez.
Now you know what it feels like to be Tiffany Trump.
Exactly.
That's how he talks to her. Guaranteed.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're not my daughter, Piggy.
It's just, it's wild when the mask slips.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like that quote of John McCain to his ex-wife, where he called her like a trollop with slapped-on makeup in front of press or something like that. It's like, Jesus. People really are. Like, I know you're like depraved, but you're really depraved.
Yeah.
Here's Tim Pool.
Oh.
And he's on Jesse Waters' program. This is Tim Pool wading into policy questions.
Oh, he always does Jesse that. Waters.
No, I know. He's all about...
But you said the right word, the verb wading.
Right.
You know, he goes ankle deep and then runs out very quickly.
This is, it's sad for me because in 2020, I actually was a very big supporter of the Democratic Party. I donated the maximum to Tulsi Gabbard. She's now a Republican alongside Trump. I hear Trump talking about tariffs. I understand this. I am a business owner. I own a skateboard company. We make all of our products in America, and I know what it means for an industry to outsource those jobs. And I agree with these tariffs because it's been a godsend for the manufacturing.
Pause it for 1 second. Hold on. So does he make, do you think, I'm just curious, what part of the skateboard he actually manufactures? Like, is he putting the what are the wheels called again?
There's the trucks and the wheels.
The trucks. Yeah. Is his factory, do they screw the trucks on, or are they manufacturing the trucks?
Often.
Are they manufacturing the petroleum product based wheels? Is he manufacturing the boards themselves? Or is he just getting them and branding them and then turning around and selling them?
Yeah.
I would say the latter. Usually when you get a skateboard, you put the trucks on yourself.
I am curious, is every element on his skateboards, are they made in the U.S.? I mean, because that's what would have to happen, right? Like every element of his skateboard would have to be made in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to imported and subject to tariffs.
And I'll say, I don't see anything particularly on that on the Boonies HQ website, which is his skateboarding company, Content and Culture from the Backwoods.
But surely on the Boonies, I mean, because if it was all made in the U.S., he'd be bragging about that. I mean, we our merch store, we don't manufacture our shirts. I mean, I guess we print on them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all U.S. made and union made.
Yeah.
And I would talk about that.
If his are all U.S., I would imagine he'd have a some type of...
There's zero indication on this.
Interesting. Store. So... Are there skateboard companies that are exclusively imports? Seems to me that maybe he's sort of like just...
I also just want to stick on what he said earlier, that he was a big supporter of the Democrats in 2020. Like, when did you debate him? It was in the middle of the pandemic.
I mean, he's entirely basing it off of the Tulsi Gabbard thing, who he liked Tulsi because she was a Republican.
Right, right.
Which
I mean,
she is now.
It's like the same thing that these, like the I'm open to the Democratic Party. I liked RFK Jr. It's like, okay, great. I mean, these people that are clearly left the left grifters or whatever.
I'll tell you what has been very difficult for me.
Yes.
In the early 70s, I was extremely supportive of Edward Brooks, who was the Republican senator from Massachusetts. And since then, I feel like the Republican Party
has left you.
Has left me. This has been very disturbing.
Tim was so supportive of the Democratic Party that he was repeatedly predicting a 49-state landslide for Trump in 2020.
And I mean, this is also a good indication, you know, not that there isn't things that the United States government should be doing on trade policy to, you know, help American workers, but. I would say that maybe a bigger problem going on in the skate area of Tim Pool is the story that Will Sommer wrote about him. The skate park was thriving, then a right-wing YouTuber bought it. And it goes into a Martinsburg, Virginia skate park that was bought up by our boy Tim Pool.
Illuminati kids. I don't know about Tim Pool's company, but it's actually not too hard to put together a skateboard with parts entirely made in the U.S. I would imagine. But I would also be curious if Tim Pool actually manufactures these.
I'd like to see that certified, yeah.
Yeah. But,
all right, let's go back and hear what he's saying here. Because, incidentally, Tim Pool's anecdote aside, the tariffs may be helping his skateboard business.
That none of us had ever heard of.
Mm-hmm. But it might be helping his skateboard business, but the fact of the matter is that... you have now something like almost 20 states in or near a recession. You have a complete drop-off of manufacturing starts in this country, dramatic. But yet, based upon the massive success of his
West Virginia skateboard company.
Good.
To outsource those jobs. And I agree with these tariffs because it's been a godsend for the manufacturing in this country, real Americans to get work to benefit our culture. And when I look at Democrats,
pause it for a second to benefit our culture. First off, there every indication that we have at this point is that we're seeing mounting job losses. I mean, that's why the Fed raised the rates, right?
But the culture, Sam.
The culture's improving. It's just not the economy.
Mamdani talking about free buses and faster buses, he has no authority to do that. Chuck Schumer is infighting with Democrats, but the socialists are likely going to take over that party. I don't recognize them anymore. And it's strange to me that...
Does he want the Chuck Schumer Democrats to just stay in power? Is that what he's trying to imply
here? Tim was a true blue Chuck Schumer Democrat. And then all of these
but
progressive...
This Mamdani.
This Mamdani... who has no authority to make buses. In fact, no one does. In nature, buses require a metro card. And you can't, there's no way to change that. Yeah. Nobody can change
God
that.
Said. It's not like there's already tests there, of the program already.
There's no Adam and Steve to this situation. Buses require metro cards. They come together.
We require oxygen. Buses require
metro cards. They can't even. He's not authorized to do that.
Kansas City, by the way, it has a free bus policy on its streetcars and buses. So
yeah,
I mean,
that's Kansas City. Yeah. It's not authorized in New York. Everybody knows that.
Authorization.
Yeah. Authorization.
I got it.
Duh.
From who? I'm not sure.
Strange to me that after all of my years, I'm going to be 40
in a
few months.
Go back.
The Republicans.
Go back. I really just want to hear him complain on national television that I don't recognize the Democrats anymore when they're going to have fast and free buses. Hello? Like, what is this? This is not the Democratic Party I know. Like, I grew up and then Democrats were like, buses are going to be expensive and they're going to be slow. And that's the Democrats I knew.
We're serious.
And now they're coming out with free and fast buses. Like, what next?
Buses and faster buses. He has no authority to do that. Chuck Schumer is infighting with Democrats, but the socialists are likely going to take over that party. I don't recognize them anymore. And it's strange to me that after all of my years, I'm going to be 40 in a few months.
Oh,
the Republicans
years.
Are the party of the working class and of the manufacturing jobs. I wish we had real political competition in this country, but we just don't.
All right. So
how many people are you employing at that skateboard company, buddy?
Well, I'll tell you, I know there was every single person that I met when I went down there, had been recently downgraded in their jobs, and he really traded them down. The editor of the website was literally the guy who picked me up.
You're a driver now.
And it's because it's not his fault. It is because his Russian investors ended up cutting off the funds. Yep.
not sure what the hell he's talking about in terms of onshoring all of this stuff. There's been analysis done here by Joseph Politano, but basically showing that manufacturing is at its lowest level in nearly 2 years.
Yeah.
Construction is down roughly 8.6% over the last year as the CHIPS Act projects have been completed and tariffs weigh on manufacturing investment. So we're actually seeing an immensely significant slowdown in U.S.-based manufacturing because of the tariffs and because of, yeah, the expiration or the CHIPS, many of the CHIPS Act's projects being completed and then the Trump administration trying to kill the rest of them, right?
Yeah, but you're just saying that as a distraction from the buses getting faster and freer, okay, which is a real problem.
Yeah.
So think of all the skateboards that are being made in West Virginia.
Incidentally, you know who gets free buses in New York City? There is already, buses are already free for students.
Hmm.
So when I get on a...
Under whose authority?
When I get on a bus with Saul, he has a Metro card that he does not pay for. They give it to him at school.
And, wow.
Or it's an Omni card, I guess, now. And he gets on free. And then I grab him by the collar. And I'm like, who authorized this?
Sounds like the government is making it easier for kids to run away from school, from home to me. But
Well, chance to be a fine thing. What else we got?
I wish we had real political competition in this country, but we just don't.
All right, so it looks like the Republican Party may be competing against the socialists. It looks like Chuck's on his last legs. And, like, Gavin Newsom, of all people, is, like, the one semi-normal Democrat that's, like, keeping everything at bay. I mean, is this
tells
what
you everything
we're facing?
You need to know about Gavin.
Wait, did you go on a podcast with him, with Jesse Waters? Do you have Jesse Waters on his podcast? Like, what? Why are they now venerating Gavin Newsom?
Yeah, they're cut from the same cloth.
Or is it that they think that this scandal involving Newsom's, a big member of his staff just got indicted?
Yeah.
And I'm unclear as to whether that, but maybe down the road they're thinking, we make Gavin the only good Democrat, and then he gets indicted by the administration. Who knows? I don't know.
I think they like that he plays he played footsie with Charlie Kirk and Steve Bannon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Flatters him.
Pretty confident going into these midterms now. There was the past couple of weeks are a little worrying with the infighting on the right with some of these foreign policy issues. But, you know, today it seems like Trump is back on message. The infighting is sort of dying down. And when it comes to what the Republicans have to offer, we have wasted a little time on the old Epstein debacle, but maybe that's just political strategy. I got to be honest. I look at the Democrats, and with the future of the party being AOC and Mamdani, they don't have anything tangible to offer. In fact, I'm seeing reporting now that Staten Island wants to secede from New York City because Mamdani does not have the confidence of even his own city. So I can look at Trump and I can understand tariffs.
Can you pause it? I'm sorry.
He's just throwing together a bunch of words that don't
mean. I know. How many times is he going to do the secession bit too, right? He's been saying that this is like a civil war in the United States. Now he can't pick the U.S. right now. So he's saying there's a civil war in the five boroughs of New York City.
Staten Island. First, let's just, we need to sequence this. First, 1 million people need to leave from New York.
Yes.
According to the New York Post, right? There was 1 million people that were gearing up to leave New York. It doesn't appear that any of them are. All the millionaires are supposed to go.
Yep.
Maybe they all go to Staten Island.
Yes, they would love. See, that's the... But they would love to live there. You know, that's what this is all about, is that millionaires and billionaires are desperate to leave New York City now. It's not that they want to be near, like, the tip-top restaurants, culture, center of finance. No, they just can't stand that Mamdani might provide free buses.
Can you put up that clip that Emma just put into the...
I don't know if that's...
The Tim Pool one there.
Just verify it, yeah.
Because if Tim Pool is saying that things are starting to look good for the Republicans in...
Right about that.
In the one in the... If Tim Pool is saying that things are starting to look good for the Republicans in the midterm, we can...
I wasn't able to verify this is right because I'm on air, but I think this is the right clip of a montage of him predicting this landslide.
Let's just see. I mean, Tim Pool, his political prognostication is world famous.
I think Kamala and Biden might be throwaway candidates. They know they're going to get steamrolled in the election. I really don't see the Democrats winning this. I think it's fair to say Trump's going to win re-election. I think Trump might have a massive victory, which shocks the left. I think we're looking at a Trump victory, man. Trump 2020 landslide, even with everything going on with COVID. I think that's what we can expect. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Trump had a 49-state landslide. I think we could see a 49-state landslide. We may be looking at a Mondale-Reagan-type scenario where Trump landslides 49 states. And we may see a 49-state landslide. Maybe a 50-state landslide. That'd be amazing. I think we might be seeing a 49-state landslide. I just really think it's more likely that Trump wins 520 electoral votes. No amount of mail-in ballots will matter if Trump gets 537.
Look how young his beanie was back then.
I know it. And he would switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
It could have been worse. He could have said we have a 55-state landslide.
Yeah. Guam, Puerto Rico, they'll all do it.
They're going to become states just to landslide. What else should we play here?
I mean, 24 and 25 are pretty good. I'm fine to tee off on this fool.
Yeah, let's go to, let's start with 24. Barry Weiss is now in charge of CBS News, and she sent Tony Dopacol, who famously...
I'm a huge fan of his work. and by work, I mean his op-ed talking about his recircumcision that people can look up if they choose to. When he converted to Judaism, he...
Well, his big thing, of course, was attacking Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Oh, I'm less of a fan of that, but I'm more amused by this other story that he willfully put on the internet. But yeah, he is a convert to Judaism. He is a Zionist. And so he's now being elevated within the ranks of CBS. He was already pretty high up. He was on, he did that Coates interview. And so this is the kind of stuff that they're covering now at Barry Weiss's CBS. They are focusing on the real victims of hate in our country, people like Dave Portnoy.
Incidentally, this is in the wake of Dave Portnoy doing his One Bite Pizza reviews, I guess. And I can't remember where he was, but somebody came up to him and yelled at him that he was an effing Jew.
And threw pennies at him.
And oh, they throw pennies at him, too? Okay. And... which is, having had been there, certainly more as a kid, unpleasant, to say the least. But here he is now, and he's had a big argument, I think, on Barstool Sports with one of his co-hosts about making Jewish jokes, because he's very, very sensitive about jokes.
He reminds him he could fire him at any moment. That's true.
Look, sometimes there are jokes that are too sensitive, but let's hear them top.
I mean, occasionally you get a kike or Jew or whatever. It's every day now. Like, there's a definitive shift in what's going on. So, yes, now I for me, being a Jewish person, like, you gotta step up. You're kind of someone people look up to in the Jewish community. You have to be like, all right, this is not normal ha-ha with the guys. People are coming in with real hate.
How do you explain that line to people?
It's a tough one, and sometimes they always don't get it.
And just last week, a man was arrested for using an anti-Semitic slur at Portnoy. While he was taping a video in Mississippi.
The success of Barstool and yourself is based on not being afraid to offend, right? Speech is speech, a joke is a joke. Do you see a connection between what you unleashed and what you now have to deal with?
No, because I think Barstool and myself has always had a pretty good moral compass. So
pause it.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Pause it. All right. Let's just some of the edgy stuff he wrote. Even though I never condone rape, if you're a size 6 and you're wearing.
Wait. Okay. Well, we got a clip. We got a clip.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. I won't read that one. There's a clip of it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on it. Okay. Then, but he's also done, he said the N-word on air, et cetera. All right. Keep going then.
Or we've never stood for hate or anything of that ilk. I mean, do I think that feminists should complain about a Diet Coke can being skinny and that somehow is like leading to a eating disorder by Diet Coke having a skinny can? That I think is crazy. And there are things that I think people get far too worked up, like he, she, verbs, like crazy to me.
All right, pause it for a second.
Making
I just
jokes.
I mean, I understand that this guy is
verbs too.
The head of a massive communications company. But he, she are not verbs. They're pronouns. They're not verbs.
Mm.
I did not.
You never heat around?
I was going to say. I did not she my way to school today. Also, here's the thing about moral compasses.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever taken a compass out and it's pointing not to north and because maybe there's a magnet that you don't aren't aware of, you don't know that your compass is askew. That's the danger.
Yeah.
That's really the danger. Sometimes we don't always know if our moral compass is really pointed in the right direction. But let's just finish this up.
That you are trying to hurt people's feelings and are based in hate, that's never flown with us.
Okay, never flown. Let's go back to some past flights.
There you go.
That Portnoy has made here. And again... It's
so funny what he looks
first
like.
First off, just the shirt itself that he's wearing in this is incredibly offensive. And the fact that we have to show this to you. But listen to Barstool and himself's moral compass. I don't know how long ago this
2012.
Was. 2012. Okay, fair enough. 14 years ago. Look, in that first interview, he could say, you know, there was a time where I didn't appreciate that there were things that I was saying that were
right.
Sort of disgusting. And
yep.
I'm older and I have a different perspective now. I don't know if I would believe them, but it would make a lot more sense. But let's go back and look at that moral compass.
I never condone rape, but if you're a size 6 and you're wearing skinny jeans, you kind of deserve to be raped.
Correct. I stand by that. I think it's a funny joke.
You think rape is funny?
No, I didn't say that. I think it's a funny joke.
Do you understand how offensive that is?
No,
I never
okay,
condone.
Let's just be clear. Where's the joke there? I think women who are dressing in a way that I find suggestive or women who are a certain size and are wearing a certain type of pant, they deserve to be raped. And the joke is...
You know, Dave Portnoy himself has been accused of pretty severe sexual misconduct, and he sued Business Insider over this report about it, saying it was slanderous. And then his appeal of the dismissal of his lawsuit, he ended up dropping. So turns out, like, it seems like there was a little bit more there than he wanted to admit.
I would just like to enter into the record a little piece from this Patrick CC piece on Portnoy. What will it take to destroy this pizza reviewer? This is about a woman working for him named Maria, who was, I believe, 20 years old. And here's what Portnoy, the moral compass he's talking about.
At the wall to see if it sticks. But with the growth of the company meant that controversies that Dave thought were small would become huge news. In June of 2018, Portnoy said on Barstool Radio that Rhea Kufo, a 20-year-old on-camera Barstool personality, would not be able to put her face in front of a camera in 5 years because people will throw up. Disgusted by the headline, Rhea confronted Dave, asking him why he would make such a rude comment.
Are we going to talk about how Dave's ass is in the jackpot? Or because he said that I'm going to look so gross in 5 years that people will puke on camera?
There's a chance I said that.
That is horrible.
Double
that
jackpot.
Is really horrible.
I'm just saying you're going to age, Rhea, because you're in Barstool World like your boyfriend, Hank.
Yeah, but in 5 years, people will puke when they see me?
That's aggressive.
That is really aggressive. First of all,
apologize.
I will not apologize.
Yes, my
pig. The stand-up guy also recently tried to say that Greta Thunberg should be bombed on the flotilla.
Yep.
Mm.
That is an interesting moral compass.
Yeah.
That is a very interesting moral compass. CBS is now run by Barry Weiss, and so that's CBS News for you.
There
you go.
How old
was Portnoy in 2018?
You know, here's the thing. You can't expect a newsroom to be able to find that video like we did.
Yeah,
right? Like, if you're sitting there and you're interviewing somebody, and they say to you, we have a moral compass, we would never do any jokes that were about, like, hate or meant to project hate on anybody. It seems to me, if you are a reporter working at one of the biggest news networks in the country, you would have the resources to say, like, okay, here's my question. Do you think it's wrong for you to make these mean jokes? He could say, yes, I do think it's wrong for you to make these mean jokes. Or no, and we would never do that. Maybe you should have an example of the joke. Now, CBS does not have the crack production team that we have.
As good, like, of a producers you can possibly find.
Investigative reporters and producers that we have here at the Majority Report. Behind these IKEA screens, there is literally hundreds of people working in desks behind us here. Coming up with ways of... Yeah, facts.
I do believe I told you yesterday, I don't think I was born to work. Was something I said yesterday.
I can appreciate that. I said that at a Super Salad interview, and that did not go over so well with them. I thought I was just being honest. They'd appreciate it. But it's pretty stunning that you can... bring that guy on and not challenge him at all.
Yeah.
But make it look like you're challenging him by saying, like, hey, here's a tough question. Don't you think that maybe in the past you guys have crossed that line? No? No? Okay. Anyway, all right.
Take your word for it.
Yeah, got it. Cool. Appreciate your being honest and answering that.
Also, it's not as relevant, but look up Dave Portnoy standing on his tiptoes.
Because
always, like, it is so funny. He is always, if you look at him off camera, people will take these little videos of him standing next to somebody taller. He's always on his tiptoes. I can't imagine being that insecure.
And I'm not sure if there's, like, a media person more responsible for the gamblification of our sports than Dave Portnoy, who really fetishizes this kind of thing, funneled a lot of young men towards that mentality via Barstool Sports, in addition to, like, misogyny, racism, all that kind of stuff. But he regularly will, like, put $1 million on a game and advertise it. And I just think it's, like, the height of irresponsibility. But
genuinely, like, if there is media properties that are responsible for cultivating misogyny over the past 20 years, it is absolutely Barstool with the smoke shows. I mean, that was a 40-year-old man talking to a 20-year-old intern saying she's going to make people throw up with her physical appearance when she's 25. I mean,
it was a running joke at college that if they had the Saturdays or for the boys banner with the Barstool logo on it, that don't drink any of the punch because you're going to get raped there.
Rapists, yeah.
All right, let's play one more video before we read some IMs.
Do you want to do the Seattle mayor?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Nice.
We didn't spend too much time covering this race, to be honest with you. We mentioned it a couple of times on election day, and I had, frankly, hadn't realized that they were still counting the votes. And clearly they had to ship in votes from somewhere else, probably immigrants.
Mm-hmm. Brought in by Trendaragua.
Yeah, Trendaragua. Switched the vote counts. But here is Seattle's new mayor, Katie Wilson. Her opponent conceded, I think it was this morning or yesterday afternoon. And simultaneously, she is sticking up for Starbucks workers.
Yep.
We're hoping, are we going to have somebody on tomorrow? Or,
we're in talks.
Okay. We're hopefully we'll have somebody on in a couple of days. As you know, we've talked to many Starbucks organizers
Michelle
through the
Eisen,
years.
I remember, has been on.
Yep. Yeah.
many years. And the last conversation we had, they were waiting to see if they were going to get a contract after the union was recognized. And of course, Starbucks is taking advantage of the fact that there is really no National Labor Relations Board and a federal government that's hostile to labor rights. Starbucks employees are on strike. They have asked consumers to boycott Starbucks products. So I hope you're doing that. And you can let them know or not let them know. Yeah, in other words, you can go by the Starbucks, go into, I'd like to see the manager. I want you to know I'm not buying a coffee today or until you guys unionize and walk out. Or they'll know if enough people don't buy their product, it will hurt their bottom line. Yeah. Here is new Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson. Incidentally, Starbucks started out there.
That is why I am proud to join them on their picket line and proud to say loud and clear, I am not buying Starbucks and you should not either. And I would like to close with a message to Starbucks. This is your hometown and mine. Seattle's making some changes right now. And I urge you to do the right thing. Because in Seattle, when workers' rights are under attack, what do we do? When workers' rights are under attack, what do we do? When workers' rights are under attack, what do we do? Because this is your city. Thank you very much.
People seem excited in Seattle.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's a big win.
Yeah.
And it
both coasts?
Yep.
She only won by 1,300 votes.
I mean,
that's awesome. Yep. She beat a Democrat.
Yep.
And I believe that there's a candidate for mayor from DSA that's launching in LA now. It could be really important to try to build up some of that power out there as well with DSA.
Kowalski from Nebraska says Katie Wilson promised to provide the greater Nebraska movement support, so we were able to get 20,000 votes into Seattle. Soon that the Dakotas will be no more. Thames Darwin, of course, Matt Leck can't understand why Dave Portnoy feels so insecure about his height because the dude is 9 feet tall.
6'2".
Lame Duck Chuck. Tim Pool is welcome in my party. He knows what's best for the Democrats. We will win. Space Jones. Sam, that Looney Tunes falling off a cliff sound you used earlier when talking about Bill Maher is a horrendous crime against people who listen to your show with headphones. Isn't there a better version?
Crime crimes?
Hopefully that helped.
Australia has banned people of certain ages from making accounts on certain social media platforms. They'll also be holding the platforms and not the users accountable for violations. I'm curious to see how this unfolds in Australia. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Corporations ate my baby. Trump heed Bubba. Al Conniption.
The verb thing.
ICE is also in San Antonio. You can find plenty of news reports. Washington, Vichy, I thought the point of ending the shutdown was to end the pain of not having income. It's day four back working at my federal agency, and there's still 2 to 6 more days until we get back pay. Almost 50 days now since my last partial paycheck.
Oy. Criminal.
Lame Duck Chuck, I already read that. Saturn Girl. Hi, Sam. By now you know I have the gift of prophecy. It comes from a combination of historical materialism and BPD. The Oracle tells me the United States will not survive the next 7 years as one nation. The New Year's, we're going to party like it's 1859. Okay, well, I hope you're wrong, but we'll see. Mama Stoffelis, San Antonio in here. ICE claims they arrested 150 Trend Argua members in a raid Sunday at San Antonio Food Truck Park and Pop-Up Nightclub. Footage taken shows ICE thugs pointing guns into food trucks and arresting random customers. The media here is only parroting the DHS press release. Delta 9. What's up, MR Gang? With Emma going on tour and seeing all the other sets, I got to know. What are we going to do to get her a final I am button of the day noise.
I know. We need to just update the soundboard.
Her to leave anytime soon.
That's why she leaves.
Yeah.
What's that?
I've had enough of this.
I mean, I don't know why you can't get one.
Well, because I asked you if we could pay $10 extra for the app to add more things to the soundboard. You were like, why do we have to do that? And then the conversation never continued.
I never said that.
Yes.
Did I?
Brian.
Don't look at me. I don't know.
You were there.
Was I?
Yeah.
Then yes, you said it.
We made fun of you for being cheap, and you said that I'm being anti-Semitic.
And then Sam said this.
Now that you say that, I believe all of that happened.
I'll pay for the extra $10 for an app.
Okay, great. All right. It just depends on the day with you. I don't know what I'm getting.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
When have I ever said no to $10 on an app?
Okay, you might have been joking.
I think I was joking.
Okay.
You know,
I'm off today.
Well, you just, find your own fanfare music, though.
And dear God, if you want to come at me that way, you're going to have to take it up with me.
Sam's giving me a hard time because I'm such a big fucking deal now.
Whoa.
Sam's jealous of those PodSave comments.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I'm realizing that, like, I'm in this life now. And so the only thing I experience is wild overconfidence and then extreme crippling insecurity. And there's no in between now. So that's, I guess, my life.
Just give her the soundboard, Sam.
All right, Jesus. George Santos, do you all have any insight on what's happening with Chiasse in New York? Seeing people call him an opportunist, but not sure what to make of it as a non-New Yorker. I mean, here is my interpretation on this. It is that Mamdani, AOC, other progressives in and around New York feel that the most and I'm offering this without judgment. I'm just telling you what, my assessment, what I've read is. They feel that the most important thing that happens now, that all hands on deck to make Mamdani successful, that he must succeed because there are so many, particularly in the Democratic Party, that are hoping he will fail and will be working towards his failure, not just in the Democratic Party, obviously in the Republican Party too, but that they're within the Democratic Party, there's a lot of headwinds. We just saw Hochul the other day indicate that she's open to raising corporate taxes to fund Mamdani's programs. But if your number one agenda item is make Mamdani successful, and that has to happen in the next year because Hochul's facing this primary from Delgado, who's running to her left. This is the peak leverage point.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to want other progressive candidates around the country to succeed, you need Mamdani to succeed.
But has Mamdani weighed in, or I've just seen AOC?
Yes, Mamdani. Okay. Well, I don't know if he's been public about it.
Okay.
But the reporting was that he didn't want Ace to run.
Mm. Well, which is interesting because there was also, you know, stuff that I'd said previously, I'd heard behind the scenes that Jeffries was holding out his endorsement in part because he didn't want Zoran to endorse primary challenges in New York City against their other members. He could have included Jeffries as well, but he refused, and that was part of what the holdout was. So I don't know if – I mean, I think Zoran's keeping his options open. What AOC's doing, I'm a little more just disconcerted about,
to
be honest with you.
The reporting has been that Mamdani discouraged him from running.
Fair enough. I mean, I just – but overall, AOC has kind of embraced Jeffries recently. She's basically, you know, been more critical of Schumer. Obviously, that's in her interests, and then more supportive of the leader in public. And I mean, I don't necessarily know if this is maybe one of her moves that I've disagreed with the most. She should be getting behind anybody that doesn't take AIPAC money and making this her brand in the Democratic Party. I know she's concerned about institutionally moving up, but she already has immense leverage given her public popularity and her fundraising apparatus. How much leverage does she need?
I don't think it's just about her. I think that I'm just going by the reporting, and there's a piece in Politico just yesterday. It's a real pain in the ass for them. A Democratic consultant, Chris Coffey, said, referring to Mamdani and his team, they really don't want to be talking about Hakeem at a time where they need to reassure people to get money from D.C. and Albany. For Mamdani, this goes beyond one race. The potential primary represents an early stress test of his priorities. Whether he'll lend his star power to insurgents molding his image, side with the establishment he wants to ride it, or remain neutral. No matter how he reacts, there'll be consequences. I think this is probably also, when it comes to Asse, Mamdani has spoken to the Brooklyn lawmaker more than once to talk him out of running and has distanced himself from the effort, according to two people familiar with the conversations, granted in anonymity because they aren't authorized to speak publicly. I ran to deliver an affordability agenda. That agenda continues to be my focus, Mamdani said Tuesday when asked why he wasn't jumping to support Asse.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to jump to support anybody. I think, though, if they're, I would imagine he's keeping his options open, right?
I don't think
future support.
I think this is not about keeping his options open. I think this is about him saying, "I've got one job to do,"
and Hakeem, it'd be a big upset. And why put all your bets on that right now and spend political capital? Because Hakeem Jeffries, I mean, it sucks, but he has high approval rating.
But I think we will see more, and perhaps I'm going to reserve judgment in terms of like being more caustic towards AOC on this if she endorses like primary challenges in key races like Dan Goldman, for example.
If she does or doesn't?
If she does. If she doesn't, I think that's a problem.
I would say she's been too cautious. So from my perspective, I'd say, like, fine. You don't want to take on Jeffries right now. But there does need to be some playing against the establishment.
But I don't think...
But you also... Hold on, let me just make this point. Like, you don't need to say to the press, you don't need to say... I don't think this is helpful right now. You can say, I think primary challenges are healthy. I think the leader has done a good job in X, Y, and Z, but you don't need to say what her quote was, which I just didn't like, that it's not a good idea.
To the challenge,
yes.
Jeffries.
Yeah, yeah. You got into power, and I remember covering your race very intimately. It was incredibly exciting by challenging one of the top three Democrats. Jeffries wouldn't even have this job right now. It was supposed to go to Crowley, and she unseated him. I mean, he was one of the people in the running. It was, right, it was Hoyer and then Crowley under Pelosi.
Do you think that she's operating exclusively based upon her own exclusively her interests?
I am not saying that at all. I'm just essentially saying that you should not I don't think that you should say it's not a good idea. I think you should still support
the
concept.
Right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
She thinks it's not a good idea right now. And I think
I certainly don't think a primary challenge to the leader is a good idea right now. I don't agree with framing it so strongly. I just think you should say primary challenges are healthy. And you can even say I support, like, Jeffries has been doing X, Y, and Z and blah, blah, blah. But I just thought that wasn't the right quote.
My sense is, at least the way that they're trying to spin it, which I have some sympathy to this, is that her it is more of a priority to make Mamdani successful.
Yeah.
In this right now. I mean, because this is it. The next 12 months. I mean, we were talking to people at the Our Time Is Now. And I was saying, like, Mamdani's going to move quick, right? Like, he's going to do this in the first 12 months. And they said their response to me was, he's going to do this in the first 6 months. And, 6 to 9 at the max.
Right.
That's all the time he has to really secure the financing for his biggest, projects. And the question is like, is that just Mamdani's effort? Or is that an effort that AOC is going to have to participate significantly in? Because he doesn't have any other natural allies in the congressional delegation. And he certainly doesn't have any other allies who could very well be the next senator from New York.
Yep.
And the responsibility goes both ways. If you're AOC, you're like, her agenda, her ability to win is also tied into Mamdani's success.
Yep.
And so...
No, I get it. I just didn't think the quote... I thought the quote was a little strong. And, you know, it's not the end of the world.
But... I mean, but people can, you know... I'm not saying that people can't disagree and think that it's more important for her to be supportive of this particular primary than it is to... but I don't think anybody can disagree that... I think you can decide which priority you think she should have.
I think it's too much to call Asse an opportunist, though. I think Asse is a good...
Who said that?
That the IMer.
Oh, the IMer. Oh,
yeah. No, I haven't heard anybody say that.
No, he's actually really delivered. We've had him on this program. I understand people are maybe a little skeptical about him joining DSA later, but he's been a really good... member of the city council.
But I imagine it is also a complicated situation for Mamdani because you have multiple agendas that you're trying to fulfill.
The Lander thing is another pickle that he's in terms of if Lander wants to run in New York 10 or not. So, and if they have that DSA challenger on standby.
Lavender allergy. Bowman and Sean Fain were among the only national figures to explicitly support Katie Wilson. Jayapal Fence sat in the face of naked corruption from Bruce Harrell. Katie won. But the left needs to get serious about backing primaries to the hilt. Also, shout out to Francesca for doing an event with Katie. It meant a lot to see her out here. Tomoff Link, Emma, happy belated 5-year anniversary. Thank you. Of your sporadic Majority Report appearances. all right, three more of these, and then we're out of here. The mill rind. Jesse's water in Tim's pool is melted yellow snow. That's sort of gross. But well done with the wordplay. Darth Masur. Tim Pool's predictive powers are almost as good as Dave Rubin's, who, by his own words, is almost always right. And the final I am. Wait, sorry.
Open conversation is the way of humans connecting.
It's so deep.
Left is cuck. Sam, they're transing the buses. The socialists must be stopped. Matt, Brian, Emma, great job today. Dave, special guest in studio.
Dave.
Folks, see you tomorrow.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught. See the truth and the light fall. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my power